Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
One of the happiest days of my life, aside from obviously when I found my Savior, I should say more appropriately, my Savior found me. One of the happiest days of my life was when Chandra Michelle Rantala married me. And when we got married, unless you think I don't remember, it happened April 29th, 1995. I just remember feeling like I was now a whole. I was no longer a part. And it truly brought just a joy to my heart that's inexpressible. But we went on our honeymoon, as many couples do. And honestly, it was by grace of God and our faith that we got to go on a honeymoon, because until our wedding, I didn't have the money for it. And then we got a gift given to us, and I'd already made the plans. I'd made reservations, everything like that. And I just thought, Lord's going to provide it somehow, because I'm not going to be able to. And he provided for us. We went on our honeymoon. We enjoyed our time together. We went up to Jackson Hole. And I remember this conversation we had on our way home. And it was probably one of the most unique conversations I had with my new bride at that time. We were on our way home, and we were driving. We just turned through the Flying Y out here on our way towards the Chubbuck exit. And Chandra says, honestly, she says to me, she goes, well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it was. And she's like, oh, I wish it could just last forever. And I, assuming she was speaking about our honeymoon in particular, said, me too, you know, knowing we had to go back to work and stuff like that. And as we got closer to the Chubbuck exit, all of a sudden, in jubilation almost, she says, wait. I'm like, that was the first time I freaked out when I was driving with her. Wait. I'm like, what? And she's like, I get to go home with you. I was blown away by that thought. I didn't know that she wasn't assuming she was going to. But I remember this moment in particular because it actually spoke to me a lot about what we're going to go through this morning. Can you imagine if I would have actually brought my bride home and I would have just driven up to her parents' house and dropped her off after we were married and then drove away and went to live my life on my own as a married man without a wife? Now, you would think, that's just ridiculous. Why would you choose to do that? But believe it or not, there are many, many of us, hopefully not in this room, but many of us, when I say us, I mean the church universal, that choose to live our life this way. See, we are espoused to Christ. And many of us only get past the wedding day. And we forget that we get to live with him for the rest of our lives. It says here in our passage, in verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. We studied last week about being ashamed of the gospel, and that it was the power of God for salvation to each and every one who would believe. This word believe, that pistio in the Greek, to put your trust in or your faith in. That saving faith. That saving belief. If you would, that is the marriage day. That is the day we espoused ourselves. We became the bride of Christ when we placed our trust and our faith in his completed work, death, burial, and resurrection. And then some of us, unfortunately, went to live at home with our parents instead of choosing to go on in our marriage. There is a fountain of grace waiting for us if we just receive it by faith. There is unspeakable joy available to us if we just receive it by faith. There is a depth to our faith that we cannot begin to imagine if we will just explore it. So, and if all we've ever done, if all we've ever had happen in our walk with Christ is that marriage day, then we are truly pathetic. We are truly pathetic. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That therein, speaking to the salvation that we've received. That belief. But then look what he says from there. God, the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. I had a hard time with this passage this week. I had a hard time with that statement this week. As I prayed over and I thought about it, I was like, what is it the Lord's really saying there? Because I knew he was writing to Gentile believers. He was not going to encourage them in the faith that they had before. They were into paganism and humanism. He was not going to encourage them in that old faith. He wasn't writing to the Jews. So then I could assume if he was writing to the Jews, he was talking about the faith that they had in the law and the faith that they had in all those things. That's not what he was talking about. This revealed, is, if you would, almost insert the word there, being revealed from faith to faith is the idea here. It's like the marriage. Every day that I am married to my bride, it gets better. It gets better because we grow together. We suffer trials together. We walk together. We suffer together. And it continues on. And my faith gets stronger. The same way my marriage gets stronger. Every day that I walk with the Lord, every day I spend in His presence, every moment that I trust in Him and He sees me through, my faith grows and it gets stronger. He's taking us from faith to faith. You may have started only as every other believer with the faith to place your trust for your salvation, for your eternity in His hands. But now He's telling you, place your faith for tomorrow in me. Place your faith for the next day in me, and so on and so forth. He's saying, trust in me over and over and over again, from faith to faith to faith, that you might grow thereby, that you might become perfected thereby. It boggles my mind to think of what it is that we're not seeing that our God can do through our lack of faith. But lacking in faith is not a new concept. Every believer has suffered at some point or another with a little bit of a lack of faith. I myself, this morning, moments ago when I was singing, and actually the Lord spoke to my heart during How Great Thou Art, lacked the faith to stand here this morning and deliver this message. And the Lord said, get up there and do it, Brian. I prepared it for you. Let's go. So I'm here. Each one of us, to a certain degree, lacks in our faith. But it's not a new thing. And it's not something we should expect that would be different for us. But what we can expect is that we can learn to continue to grow in faith. And to live by faith. And to walk by faith. I'm reminded of the story in Mark. Turn over there. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Let's look at verses 35 through 41 together. A familiar story, something you heard about in Sunday school, for those of you who were able to attend Sunday school as children, or perhaps even as adults for that matter. But a story we're familiar with. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, and the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is the Lord speaking to his disciples. Get in the boat, let's go. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Why did he chastise them for their lack of faith? Well, first of all, let's remember who was in those boats. The disciples. Many a man who had spent their life on that same sea had probably seen great storms. It tells you it was a pretty serious storm that these men thought to themselves, we need to wake up the master. Which is kind of a funny concept in and of itself. If you're about to perish, if I'm with you somewhere and we're about to perish, don't bother waking me. Okay? But they wake up the master. They went to where they need to go. And you would think, well, that's showing faith. Isn't that showing faith that they went to the one they knew who could do something about this? No. Why was that a lack of faith? Because of what he had said before they even left. Look there again in that text. In verse 35, he said, Let us pass over unto the other side. If he said they were going to the other side, guess where they were going? The other side. It didn't matter what tempest or storm or trial or difficulty may come. If he wanted to get them to the other side, they were going to get to the other side. So why were they lacking in the faith to get there? Well, for the same reason you and I do. Because we care a little bit too much about our flesh. We care a little bit too much about what we have going on in our lives that we think is more important than what God is doing with us. They were faithless. Oh, ye of little faith. You have no faith. They feared exceedingly. They were scared. What is it that the Lord has you facing today? Right now. That has you scared. What is it the Lord has brought into your life in the recent history that is making you go, I can't do this. Or that's bringing such sorrow and grief and fear into your heart that you're losing faith. What is it? And tell me, did he not say that he would to the other side? Even if that other side was at the bottom of the sea and you were to drown and die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, tell me, what is it you're afraid of? Right. How great thou art, we just sung. And hopefully each and every one of you paid attention to the words of that song and thought to yourself about how great he really is. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to trust in him. But far too often, we get distracted with our cares and our concerns and our passions and our plans. Our plans. Chandra and I lost our first child. That was not our plan. We didn't expect that to happen. We didn't expect necessarily that it was going to show up when it did either. But on the other hand, we were like, you know what? Okay, this is what the Lord has for us. And it was tough. And it was difficult. But you know what? We're still here. He still saw us through. And he still got us by. Faith. Oh, ye of little faith. What is this faith that he's really speaking to us about? It's a different word in the Greek, by the way, than pistio, the believe. This is that one we talked about a couple weeks ago. The persuasion, the pistis, the persuasion, the creed. Do you believe that he is who he says he is? Do you believe that he's going to do for you what he wants to do? Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Lest we think faith is a new concept. Hebrews chapter 11. Many of you might even know this passage. It's affectionately called the Hall of Faith in the New Testament. But I want to look at just a couple verses here, and then we'll talk about all the faith people in this passage here. But I want to look at the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11 together real quick. This is the faith he's speaking about. This is the faith to faith he wants us to have. The trust, the credence, the persuasion, from persuasion to persuasion, we understand, it's being revealed. This is what he's talking about. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. What are you placing your hope in? Your job? Your family? The government? What are you placing your hope in? And then he says this, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That is the proof, if you would, it's the revelation of the things not seen yet. You sat down in a chair. I know I use this illustration all the time, but you sat down in a chair. You now have evidence that you put your faith in the right ability to sit down in that chair because none of you collapsed. You put your faith there first, and then the evidence comes. All too often, we in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ want the evidence first. Prove to me, Lord, that you're going to do this thing that you say. Show me, Lord. Do you remember what he said about a generation that seeks after signs? Evil and wicked generation that seeks after the signs and the wonders. How about what he said to Thomas? Thomas, blessed are you, having seen, you do believe. More blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. This is what he wants from us. Do you believe? Do you have faith that he is? As it says here, he is. Look at this in verse 6. God must believe that he is. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that he is? Is he what? The rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Or do you only believe, as I thought for years and years and years, the Bible said, by the way, this is not a Bible verse. I'm telling you an error that I believed. I believed for years and years and years because I'd been taught as a child that God helps them who help themselves. You can't find that in here. Did you know that?
Right.
It's not in there. Matter of fact, the exact opposite is in there. God helps them whom he pleases to help. God desires that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, this is God's work, not mine. He doesn't help them who help themselves. What help am I to myself? My heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He doesn't help me because I'm some sort of help to him. He's a rewarder of me because I diligently seek him. Diligently. That is with, it's kind of the same idea. It's with a craving to seek him. You know, we understand that word. Because sometimes, at least I hope I'm not the weird one in this room. Have you ever had something that just sounds really good for food? And it's like, you just want it. Even if it's not necessarily good for you. It just sounds really good. I share with the teens and people like that sometimes that I drove on the back of a motorcycle, I didn't drive from the back. I rode on the back of a motorcycle from Sun Valley, Idaho to Twin Falls, Idaho for McDonald's French fries. Because I had a craving. I was willing to go that 70-some miles just for French fries. Because I had a craving. This is what he wants us to diligently seek. And he wants us to crave him. Amen. He wants us to have a passion and a desire to have him. And more of him. And not be satisfied with where you're at right now. Many of us sit here this morning and we're satisfied with who we are in Jesus Christ. Wrong. Be content wherewith you are. But understand that you should crave more. You should desire more. Faith to faith. The moments of weakness, the moments he gets us through, and he's going to get us through this one. Why? So he can get us through the next one. And as we go thereby, and we understand that he's moving us along this path, and each moment he's asking us, believe, trust in me, I'll get you through this one. And then he moves us to the next one. Believe, trust in me, I'll get you through this one, just like I did the last one. Believe, trust in me, I'll get you through this one, just like I did the last one. This is what he wants from me and you, brother and sister. A craving, a desire. He wants our faith to be real. He doesn't want it to be only a marriage. He doesn't want it to only be a marriage. Oh, he'll accept that. There are many married couples in the world who all they accept about their marriage is that they are married. But that's not what he desires for you. That's not what we should desire. I desire to know my wife better and to spend more days with her. You know, that 3 months when she was over in Mountain Home taking care of her grandmother, it was probably the worst 3 months that I've experienced in my married time. And we had some rough doings, right? Contrary to popular belief, the first year of marriage, young people, when you get married, first of all, make sure you marry your godly spouse, right? Okay? But when you get married, contrary to popular counsel, the first year is not the toughest. The first year is real easy. The second year, when you have to pay for everything you did in the first year, it gets tough. All right? But he wants us there, doesn't he? He wants us not just stuck at the wedding. He wants to move us into the house that we may grow thereby in our faith. He goes on in this, and he mentions many people in this passage out of Hebrews chapter 11. And by the way, he tells us that if we diligently seek him, we're amongst this company. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through some of these names. If you're diligently seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your craving, you are listed amongst this company. Here you go. We already talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah, right? And by the way, we talked about Noah a little bit more several weeks back when I gave you that illustration about God closing the door. But what was it that really happened to Noah? He believed God and it was accounted to him righteousness. He believed. Then he mentions next, verse 8, he says, by faith, Abraham. You could be counted amongst the likes of Abraham if you diligently seek him, if you have faith in him. You can be counted amongst the likes of Abraham, who Abraham, when God told him, and I don't know, go back and read this sometime on your own, guys. We don't really have the time today, but Abraham, when God called him, he said, Abraham, get up and go. He never told him where he was going. Did you know that? Read the passage. Abraham had no idea where he was supposed to go. But you know what Abraham did? He got up and he went. And it was accounted to him by faith, righteousness. He got up, he took his family, he took his nephew with him, and he left. He said, God's going to show me where I'm going. I got faith. I trust him. By faith, Abraham also offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And we know through the study of Scripture that Isaac was probably right around the age of 30, between 30 and 35 years old at the time of this. Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice on his own back up the mountain. Abraham, fully understanding what they were going up there for, and I don't doubt he probably even somewhat shared with his son, because when they got there and his son said, okay, Dad, we have the wood. We have the fire. Where's the animal? And then we know that Abraham must have answered him because he allowed himself to be bound up and placed upon the altar. Isaac laid down on that altar. Abraham fully recognized that God could raise him from the dead because God had promised that his seed was going to come through Isaac. He didn't have any grandchildren yet. That's faith. Talk about something hoped for and not yet seen. Oh, I hope God can raise him. I trust he can. He was fully prepared to offer him. He hadn't seen that yet. Sarah conceived her in old age. We're counted amongst these people if we seek him diligently. Also found here we have Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Moses' parents. Talk about that one. You're going to put your kid in a little floating basket and go for it. Good luck. Right? Moses' parents. Moses. You can be counted amongst Moses. Now, what was Moses' faith? Here's what Moses' faith was. He chose to suffer the afflictions of the Israelites than the rewards of the Egyptians. Do you get that? Let that one sink in for a minute. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God for Christ rather than be rewarded by the world for his place. Others listed in that list there, if you read through the Hall of Faith, we have Rahab is listed, Gideon is listed, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and other prophets. Gideon is one that I love, right? Gideon should teach us about faith. Gideon was not a man of war, but he was called to fight. I just couldn't turn there. We can't skip this story. We got enough time. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Look at verses 14 through 16 with me. Gideon was not a man of war, by the way. He was not a soldier. Although he became one of the greatest, didn't he? And it says this in verse 14 and 16. It says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." What was his faith? He trusted when God said, "I am with thee," that he was with him. Amen. Did you know he says the same thing to me and you, brother and sister? "Lo, I am with thee always." What are you trusting in? Amen. Your job? Your family? The security of this world? He says, "I am with thee." That's where our faith should always find. Amen. And then this story, it's an amazing story. Well, let's just go ahead and read it. Turn with me to chapter 7. So Gideon goes, right? He's a man of faith. He believed God, so he went. Look at verses 2 through 7 of Judges chapter 7 with me. It says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." I got to pause there for a second. Isn't that sometimes what we do? Exactly what Israel does? God does something amazing and miraculous for us, and we take credit? "Well, it was my training. Oh, I sure am glad I came up with that idea." Who came up with that idea? Amen. Who trained you? So God's like, "You know what? I don't want them to have that heart with me. You got too many people, Gideon." And he goes on in verse 3. "Now therefore, go to the proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 20,000, and there remained 10,000. Gideon had 32,000 people with him. And God said, too many. Send them home if they're scared. If they don't have faith, then I'm going to get them through this in a lot of ways, is what he was saying, right? Send them home. So he's like, okay. I can imagine having to do that call, right? Gideon standing in front of the people. If you're scared, like me, go home. 22,000 went home. He was left with 10,000. He went from an army of 32,000 to 10,000. Okay, good. Whew. I can still handle it. There's 10,000 people with me. And then in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. For I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down to the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of men that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. He went from 32,000 to 300 men in one day. At that point, I'm not Gideon, but at that point, I would probably be thinking, wow, we were, and now we're little, Lord. How are we going to make it? How are we going to do this? And it says back in Judges chapter 6, just you don't have to turn there, but it says back in Judges chapter 6, that 6 verse 5, it says that the Midianites and those who had come against Israel were so great that the camels couldn't even be numbered. The camels couldn't even be numbered, not including the walking soldiers. And he said, I'm delivering them to you with 300 men. By faith, Gideon. We talked about what our hearts should desire a couple weeks ago. And do you remember the passage we looked at? We looked at Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 and 23. We're going to look at verse 23 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. It says, and his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I made you ruler, Gideon, over only 300 men, but I'm going to make you mightier than that. Isn't that our heart's desire? That we should hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the little things I gave you to take care of, you took care of. Now I'm going to make you great. That's faith to faith to faith. He had the faith to call the men. Gideon had the faith to call the men and go out with 32,000. And then God said, too many. And so then he had the faith to stand there with 10,000. And God said, too many. And he had the faith to stand there with 300. And he was victorious without ever raising a blade. Most all the work was done by the Midianites themselves. They killed themselves. That's faith. This is what he desires of us, guys. Why he has such a hard time, why we, I should say, have such a hard time understanding this concept is almost mind-boggling to me. What has he taken you through thus far? And I mean, I don't want to show hands and I don't want answers to this, but I just want you to think about that for a moment right now. What has he taken you through so far? And what is it that you think you face right now that he's not going to see you through? Your faith should build your faith. The evidences of the past should build your faith for the future. Amen. That you could place your hope fully expecting the evidence to come forth in the future. This is the faith he wants us to have. From faith to faith. Continue to grow in your faith. Continue to walk on in your faith. Continue to believe in him. Because he is able. He is able. Go ahead and turn back to our main text this morning in Romans there. God is being revealed from our faith to faith. Guys, I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ the same way I did when I first got married to Him. I don't. He has proven Himself my husband over and over and over again. He has been faithful even when I was faithless. Just like my wife and our home has proven herself to love me over and over and over again when I honestly was somewhat unlovable. She has proven herself. And you know what? It's made us stronger. It's the same way with the Lord. He has proven Himself over and over and over again. He wants to prove Himself over and over and over again. But sometimes we get so hung up on the marriage part of it that we forget that we're supposed to grow. Right. We're supposed to move on to the next area of faith. Do you think George Mueller had the faith he had because he just believed one day and boom, it was all there? We read a couple weeks ago that says God adds measure of faith to us. He gives us faith. He wants to continue to give us more and more. I can't imagine. I read some of the stories about George Mueller and the orphanage that he would run. And you know, some of the things that happened were just God, period. There were mornings that he would have all the children come down and they would be praying for the day. They'd be sitting at the table praying for the day, not praying for the meal, just praying for God's provision. And you know what? He talks about how sometimes he'd be completely out of milk. And one day a milk cart wheel broke right in front of the orphanage. And the guy comes up to the door and says, "Hey, I've got milk, I've got cheese, and I've got butter. And it's all going to spoil because I can't deliver it. My wheel's broke. Would you be interested?" The kids were sitting at the table already expecting a meal that George Mueller and the staff did not have. God proves Himself over and over and over again. But yet, for some reason, we seem to get to this mountain that we think is too great for us. And we just think, how are we going to get around it? I'm going to tell you how you're going to get around it. Prior to that passage there where the disciples were challenged of being of lack of faith, "O ye of little faith," you don't know what He taught them? He taught them a parable just prior to them entering that boat. It was the parable of the mustard seed. We're all familiar with that, right? If you had faith of a mustard seed, what could you do? Remove mountains. If you would just trust Him, He's going to do the miraculous. He's going to do the mighty works. He's going to do the things that make no human sense. Because that's who He is. And He cannot deny Himself. But if you would rather sit there and labor and toil over your mountain, trying to figure out how to get around it or climb it, rather than just letting the Lord remove it, have fun. But I submit a better way. That is to sit there before that mountain and wait upon the Lord to remove it, trusting He fully will. Now He may move you to get over that mountain. He may pick you up and drag you over it, but He's going to get you over it. You need not worry about it because He is able. Amen. He is the rewarder of them that crave Him, that diligently seek Him. Not their own wisdom or the wisdom of men. How does faith come? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. How does faith come? Let's find out how faith comes. Romans chapter 10. We all want faith. How are we going to get it? Where is faith going to come from? He talks about the first part of that passage, the gospel and those who need a preacher so they can hear and be saved. And then he says in verse 17, just in the interest of time, we're going to look at verse 17 real quick, guys. He says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God." Amen. How is our faith going to grow? By reading stories like Gideon. Amen. And understanding what God did for him. by reading stories about Abraham and understanding what God did for him, by reading stories about Paul and Silas and reading stories about Peter and James and reading these stories and understanding what God did for them. Are you any less loved of God than they? No. No, you are not. He desires to do the same and greater with us if we would but just trust and have faith in Him. Is this world unsavable? Is it so far gone that we can't share the gospel that it's pointless anymore? No. Right. Is this government so far gone that we need to have it destroyed and rebuilt? No. Not if God desires it not to be so. Is there anything in this world that God is not in control of? I sat with a man in the office on Wednesday night. And he told me that he felt upset because he felt like somebody's life had been cut shorter than it should have been. And I said, why? He said, well, I think sometimes the devil, when we give him opportunity, takes our life. Really? Are you telling me the devil controls God? The devil can somehow change God's mind? He numbered the days, not the devil. By faith we must walk. By faith we must live. Grow by faith, by faith, by faith. Every day with Him. Every moment with Him. He'll see you through the little ones, guys, to prepare you for the big ones. And oftentimes it's the little ones that produce the greatest amount of faith anyway. You know, Sean and I drove home one time from Boise, Idaho, with no gas. She woke me up in the middle of the night. That's a whole other story. All right? She woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I need to go home right now. Okay. We didn't have any money. Right? We were actually anticipating the next day we were going to get some help from somebody, but it didn't matter. We left. And we drove home. I ran out of gas. I remember the light being like, you know, I swear that at night, your red light that tells you you're out of gas gets brighter. And I ran out of gas at Raft River. But the car got home. Chandra was sound asleep. And the car got home. We woke up the next morning, it wouldn't even turn over. It didn't even try to start. Why did He take me home? Why did He get Chandra home? Because He loved her. Little things, guys, for the big ones. Right? The little things for the big ones. This is what He's taking us faith by faith by faith every day. He's building it upon it. He's growing us in it that we can conquer. Amen. And be more than conquerors. Amen. So, do we live every moment by faith? Trials produce our faith. I'm not going to turn us there. We're all familiar with James chapter 1. Where it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He goes on later on, talks about being a double-minded man. Do you believe God is who He says He is? Do you believe God can do what He's going to do? Or do you think that you need to help Him somehow? Or do you think that you can waver on it? You know? It's, okay, Lord, I need you really to take care of this problem. I can't handle it. Okay, maybe not. I think I got an idea. Okay, no, here you go, Lord. Here it is. But I think you should do it this way. Oh, you know what? I should just handle this one. No, He says, put it there and trust in Him because He's going to get it done through. We walk by faith. And in verse in our text here, in verse 17, it says this. What does it say? It is written, the just shall sometimes have faith. The just shall, no. It says the just live by faith. You have life eternal because of the faith that you placed in Him to begin with. And you live every day, if you're wise, because of the faith that He continues to grow in you. The just shall live by faith. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't need to see the Lord's plans. I don't need to know His future work. I mean, we have some of it in Revelation. We know where it's all going to end and we know we win. Right? But I don't need to see it all. I don't have to have the answers. You know, I think about the future that our church faces. The uncertainty somewhat of it right now. I don't need to know. Because I trust that God has prepared a man already. And that man's heart is going to love this body just like any one of us love each other. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to sit there and stress about it because this is God's work, God's church, just like my life is God's life. Let us go out now and walk and live by faith, trusting in the promises of God, trusting that He will reveal Himself through our faith, that it can grow. If He has told us to go to the other side, He's going to get us there. Let's live each moment of faith for the next one. Let's live each moment of faith for the next one, knowing He's going to get us through. Because He is able, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like you to join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer services for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.